Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for June 4th, 2023, Holy Trinity Sunday, is based on Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagenfield, and the sermon title is, Go, Make Disciples. Our second reading comes from Matthew in the 28th chapter, an introduction. After his resurrection, Jesus summons his remaining disciples and commissions them to baptize and teach all nations in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A reading from Matthew. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Well, grace and peace to you from the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, in the life of the church, it is Holy Trinity Sunday. Today is the day where we uphold and lift up our, albeit limited, understanding that God is three persons but one substance. Three is one, and one is three. Makes total sense, right? Probably not. And that's okay. It happens to be one of the big mysteries of our faith. One of the things that we can't fully explain. And we in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the ELCA, our particular Christian denomination that we are a part of, are okay with saying that we don't have all of the answers. And so we embrace the mystery. When some of my classmates were thinking about what they were going to preach on this week, one of my classmates posted online the following. I'm literally talking about how our professor made me terrified to talk about the Trinity for fear of committing multiple heresies. Those are false teachings of the church, right? To which our professor, who's friends with us on Facebook, replied in the comments, There's no need to be terrified as long as you focus on the key idea underlining the doctrine of the Trinity, which is that God is to be related, that relationship is at the heart of God's being. And as our textbook put it, the doctrine of the Trinity is not a solution to a math problem, but the church is working out of this key idea. Any clearer now? Yeah, imagine wrestling with that for 4 years of seminary. In case you haven't figured it out by now, I'm not going to be preaching on the Holy Trinity today. Partly because it would take an hour to break down thinking about how one is three and three persons is one substance without accidentally diving into at least four heresies that I can think of that people sometimes use to incorrectly explain the Trinity. I figure that was maybe better left to a Bible study or a small group discussion for those who really want to dig into those intricacies of the mystery. Today, instead, I want to look at another part of this passage that is often misunderstood in Matthew, verses 19 and 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. This passage has a name. Does anyone know what we typically call this passage? And shout it out. The Great Commission. The Great Commission. That's right. So if you've heard people talk about the Great Commission, this is, are the verses that they are talking about, because this is Jesus' last command or commission that he gives at the very end of the book of Matthew. These are the final verses of Matthew and Jesus' last command. Jesus gives the disciples, now further now called the apostles, meaning sent out, he now gives them and us the authority and power to go out and make disciples and baptize people. Unfortunately, the book of Matthew ends right there. We don't get a detailed instruction booklet on how that is supposed to be done. So how do we go about doing that? How should we go about making disciples and baptizing people? What is the most effective way? What if we filled up some super soakers and ran around town squirting people and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Wait, what if we paid some money to put up billboards on I-71 that says, "You'll go to hell if you don't believe"? How about standing on a street corner with a megaphone and condemning people that pass by without knowing anything about them? I don't know if you can catch my sarcasm or not, but I don't think any of those are what Jesus calls us to do in this command. To answer what maybe this command looks like being lived out, I want to pull from a book that I actually read this past week on vacation. It's called Not In It to Win It, Why Choosing Sides Sidelines the Church. It's by an author named Pastor Andy Stanley. And while I don't agree with everything that Pastor Stanley says in here, I do think it's important that we wrestle with prominent voices and theologians, even if we don't agree with everything, because it allows us to hear from multiple viewpoints and be able to then have more strength and faith in our own. In fact, even though I don't agree with everything in here, you will see some more of this book this year, because I liked so much of it that I want to use it as part of a Bible study or a book study later this summer. And we'll do that in a new hybrid model where you'll be able to be here at church and participate, or jump online via Zoom and join us live during that time as well. Pastor Stanley says this: when Jesus gave what we appropriately refer to as his Great Commission, he did not leave the content of their disciple-making venture up to them. He said to them, "Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And up to that point, Jesus' most recent command was to love each other as I have loved you. You are my friends if you do what I command. Pastor Stanley goes further in the light of the theme of this book to offer the following: you can't make disciples of people you demonize publicly and label as enemies. You can't hate people and engage them with the gospel at the same time. You can't war with people and show them the love of Jesus. Jesus didn't come to help any particular group with their interest. Jesus came to establish his own thing. His assembly, his Greek word ekklesia, a gathering of the called, his kingdom. A kingdom not of this world, but very much for this world. A kingdom fueled by an others first ethic that stood in sharp contrast to the winner take all, winning at all cost ethic that fuels the kingdoms of this world. See, in this Great Commission, we are called to go love people as Jesus loved us. That is the teaching that Jesus shows us over and over again in his words and his actions. What truly shows our belief in God is how we live it out, how we love others as God first loved us. So how do we go about teaching this love to others? Well, it has to be done in relationship. It's not something that we can just stand by ourselves on a mountaintop and shout, love one another, and then walk away. It isn't something that is necessarily learned from reading a book or Googling it online. It's something that must be shared, experienced, lived out in relationship. That's why we gather together on a Sunday to live this life of faith in relationship. I liken it to when I needed to learn how to clean the carburetor on my yard edger. Where do you go to learn how to clean a carburetor on a small engine? Well, I could have gone to the library and looked up a book and read through it and tried to figure it out that way. A better way may have been to Google a video online to kind of watch step by step, but it's probably not the exact same model, and there's little differences here and there. But the best way was for me to find someone who knows how to clean the carburetor, who could come and show me in person, walk me through the steps, be able to encourage me when I needed encouragement, and correct me when I needed correction. Being able to live it out with someone else, I believe, is the best way that we learn and teach just about anything, and especially how we love one another. In the book, Pastor Stanley talks about how it's not easy to always choose love in our interactions, but it's something we can practice. And the good news is that our teacher about love, God, is the source of love. In our relationship with God, as we interact with God through prayer and reading the Bible and partaking in communion and living life with one another, we experience firsthand God's unfailing love at work in our lives. And it prepares us then to share that love with everyone. Not just those we deem worthy. God has shown us unfailing love in action again and again throughout the New Testament, and now we are called to do the same for the rest of God's creation, to show love to God's plants and animals and people that we care for and people that get under our skin. We're called to live into our loving relationship with God, and then share that love freely and unconditionally with others. In a roundabout way, I guess we did end up kind of talking about the Trinity this morning. As my professor said, at the heart of the Trinity is relationship. And teaching Jesus' command to love as God loves us is lived out through our relationships. God loves you unconditionally. Amen. And God encourages us to share that love with everyone we meet. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.